Let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us and the freedoms we have to celebrate your word, to celebrate the joys you give us and the grace you've bestowed upon us. We pray that we use the courage and strength that you give us, along with that freedom we have, to spread your word and your joy and your light in this dark land. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sure you've all experienced that more early morning rush where you wake up, you roll over, and you look at the alarm clock, and somehow it didn't wake you up when it was supposed to. It's 5 minutes till you're supposed to be out the door. You're trying to get everything in order, trying to get your lunch together, trying to get your clothes on straight, making sure your socks match, trying to get that cup of coffee. And it doesn't matter who, we always tend to forget something. Because when we're in a hurry, we can't remember everything. But what is it that we forget? Psalm 5 was written about the time in the wilderness when David was fleeing Absalom. So let's turn to Psalm 5, and we're going to read through it once. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you do I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord adores the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. Because of my enemies, make your way straight before me. For there is no truth in their mouth. Their innermost self is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Make them bear the guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Because of the abundance of their transgressions, cast them out. For they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exalt in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as a shield. The whole point behind Psalm 5 is that it teaches us that no amount of danger or discomfort or rush should keep us from our morning fellowship with the Lord. We should always make sure we make time for him. In this psalm, David gives us three valuable instructions to encourage our daily fellowship with the Lord. In the first three verses, he talks about how we must prepare to meet with the Lord. When you have a meeting with somebody, maybe a new boss, a client, or you're greeting a new neighbor, you take time to prepare. You want to make sure that you're dressed appropriately for the event. You want to make sure that if you're greeting somebody new, you know what you're going to say. You know what you're going to talk about. If you're greeting a boss or a client, you have all your information together and organized. You make sure everything is all lined up so it goes the way it should. Well, David was a man with a broken heart, but he knew that the Lord would understand his pains. So David made sure to speak out to the Lord every morning, and he let nothing interfere. Even though he was on the run in the wilderness, he still made the time to prepare and have devotions with the Lord, have his morning fellowship with God. David came with his heart and his mind both prepared, just as we would to prepare to meet somebody new or to deliver a message or meet with a new client. He prepared himself to meet with God. He readied his heart. He got everything lined up, got himself in peace. Is that what we do in the mornings? Do we remember to prepare ourselves, prepare our hearts for who we're talking to? We're talking to the King of all kings, the Creator of all. But do we really approach it in such a manner? When we approach God in prayer in the morning, do we approach him as we would if he was the President of the United States? Which is a greater honor? And is that how we act? Then we have verses 4 through 6. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord hates the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. So what do we take from this? The second instruction that we are given is that we must seek to please the Lord. First we prepare ourselves, then we seek to please the Lord. God's pleasure comes not from wickedness, but from those who fear him and offer him a sincere praise. We must seek to please God. We prepare our hearts and we go to him in a manner where we're going to serve him. We're going to listen to him. And we're going to open our hearts and truly talk to him with sincerity and honesty. To please God, we must have faith and be identified with Jesus. The truths of God's love. What I mean by that is Jesus dying on the cross for all of our sins and offering salvation to all who believe and come to him. That truth of his love doesn't change the fact that God hates sin and punishes sinners. That's a fact. He has no pleasure in them. They cannot dwell with him as they are. If they don't turn and repent, then they cannot dwell with him. He hates murderers, he hates liars, and he destroys them if they don't trust his son. They don't trust in Jesus. If they don't repent of their sin, then they will be destroyed. In fact, the Lord also expects those who love him to love what he loves and hate what he hates. His hate, though, we must truly understand. It's not hate as we tend to think of it today. His hate is not an emotional hate. It's a judicial hate. It's not just a feeling. It's not just an anger. It's a judicial anger. It's saying, here's the rules and you broke them, and we don't like when you don't follow these rules. We hate that you're not following the plan we give you. He lays it all out. Here's what sin is. Here's what not to do. Here's what I expect you to follow. And I know you're not going to be able to, so I'm offering you this gift. You just have to come to me, sincere in heart, and repent of those sins. And they'll be forgiven. You'll be accepted. But should you choose not to, then I'm going to have nothing to do with you. His hate is a judicial hate. If we want to truly fellowship with God, then we need to feel the same anguish. We need to feel anger and love at the same time. That's how he feels it when we see the evil in this world. When he sees it, he still has love, but he has that anger over it because he's offering this free gift. All they have to do is repent. Turn their hearts over. Trust in the Lord. They choose not to. He loves them. But God is fully just. He cannot accept the sin. That's why Jesus came. So in that, He feels love and anger, but because he is wholly just, he will punish them. He's already called it out. We must accept that evil exists in the world and that it's going to destroy lives. The evil of this world is capturing people for hell. There's no other way to put it. That's all evil can do. And God is holy, and against that evil, God is pure light, and in pure light you find no darkness. But people have a choice to make. What we need to examine ourselves is that anguish showing in our prayers? Do we show it in our morning prayers? David's showing it in these verses. Do we? The third instruction in verses 7 through 12 is all about submission to the Lord. David contrasted himself and came to the Lord with three requests. Verses 7 through 8, but I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. Because of my enemies, make your way straight before me. His first request in seeking to submit to God is, show me your guidance. Show me the way. I'm following what you want. I have surrendered my will to yours. He was literally lost in the wilderness and praying that God would show him the way through it. His second request is shown in verses 9 and 10. For there is no truth in their mouths. Their innermost self is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Make them bear their guilt. O God, let them fall by their own counsels. Because of the abundance of their transgressions, cast them out, for they have rebelled against you. The second request was a prayer for justice. If indeed this psalm was written about that time in the wilderness on the run, it is said that more men fell to the trees than to swords. God was the one doing the vengeance. He left it for God, prayed for God's justice to be enacted, not his. Is that the justice we ask for? And then in verses 11 through 12, we have the last request, but certainly not the least. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them. That those who love your name may exalt in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. His third request is for God's blessing. He began his devotions by seeking help for himself, but ended his devotions seeking blessings for all people, including his enemies. Yeah, he prayed for God's justice, but he also prayed that any of them who take refuge in the Lord be protected. He prayed for his enemies, prayed that if they'd turn their lives over, if they'd open their eyes, see what God has to offer, that they would be spared, they'd be forgiven. We turn to God in prayer. Do we keep these three things in mind? Do we think about how we must prepare to meet with the Lord? Do we take as much time in preparing our hearts and minds for the Lord as we would if we were to be meeting with the President of the United States or some other person that's famous or highly respected. Who would we take more time to prepare ourselves for? God or them? We must seek to please the Lord. When we pray, it's the anguish over that love and hate of sin showing. Are we hating what God hates and loving what God loves? Are we lining ourselves up with Him? And do we submit to the Lord? When we submit to Him, are we praying for His guidance so that it's His will that's being done instead of ours? Are we praying for His justice? It's His justice that we want, not ours. And are we praying for His blessings on anyone who turns to Him? Not just those we like, not just those we love, not just our friends and families, but those we don't like, those we don't know. Will we be willing to pray that way for the most evil person we know? That's how David was praying in this prayer. The same person he was praying for justice to be enacted upon, the same person he's saying that God could take no delight in, that God has anguish over, God will exact justice on. He also prayed that if he would turn his soul over to the Lord, would be given the blessings of God. Can we bring ourselves to pray in that manner? David was being chased in the wilderness, and he made time for God every morning. Do we make that time in our lives for God in the morning? Do we sit down for counsel with Him? Do we sit down and have daily devotions and fellowship with Him in the morning? When we have to drop something out because we didn't get out of bed on time, what is it we drop out? Do we drop our fellowship to God? Or do we leave out our morning coffee? Which is more important to us? We say it's God. We say God's number one in our lives. But is that what we show? If it's not what our actions are showing, then we need to ask ourselves, is that truly what we're making number one? What comes first? God or coffee? Let's take a moment to prepare ourselves before we close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, this fallen world can be very confusing. We know there is but one right path before us all, and that it is your path. We pray that though there's many trails that lead off of it, many that look like they might be the greener one, they might be easier, let us always pray and follow your guidance. Let us stay on the path that you declared. Be it hills or valleys, or sometimes the green pastures, let every step we make be guided by you. In your wisdom. And Lord, we know we live in a dark world. We know when we look out there, it just seems like day by day, the darkness is growing. Lord, we ask that your justice is what is served. That while we still have free speech to speak out in your name, we use it. And that when we're told we can't say something, that we can't pray in an area, that we still pray to you, if not allowed inside. That we always lift our voice to you, and we ask for your justice to be served. Lord, we know you love every child on this planet, every man and woman. You know everybody. You know every hair on their head. And Lord, we know the anguish because of how much you love them, but know that justice must be served, for you are wholly righteous. And Lord, we ask that their eyes are opened. We pray for your blessings upon this world, upon this community, upon every child ever born, that seed of salvation is planted, and the Holy Spirit is able to work in their lives. They are able to open their eyes to it, accept it, so that those seeds can flourish and they can learn about your blessings, your joy, and your peace. Lord, may we always remember that we are to love what you love and have that anguish over everything you hate. That we are to submit to you always. And that when your path is before us, no matter what we think, we know, and following that path, you will always get us through any obstacle before us. No matter how lost we may feel, that if we look to you for guidance, you will carry us through. For you are the salvation. You offer that gift. And when we truly repent and turn our hearts over to you, our eyes are opened. We feel that peace, we feel that joy, and we know your hand is at work in this world, at work in our lives, and that your will always be done. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 5 is a deep psalm. It's another lamentation, but it also speaks to our fellowship with God.
You know, I have a tendency. I only underline in my Bible things that are referring to. I look at this psalm, and I got 11 and 12.